This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
UCLA tennis is on a roll, and the men's tennis team goes into the upcoming NCAA tournament as the number one seed in the entire bracket. A couple of guys who are the reasons why are with us today, Marcus Giron and Clay Thompson. Welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk.
Thank you for having us.
What a target, Clay, you guys have got. 24-1 on the year, winners of the Pac-12 championship and tournament. It's been pretty good so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really exciting. And we have lived up to all the goals that we set for the beginning of the season, and we're really excited to keep it going.
Marcus, how does that translate into NCAA tournament success? Everyone's gunning for you.
Yeah, but it's good. We're really focused going out there, and we're excited to be number one going into the tournament, but our real goal is to be number one at the end of the tournament.
Clay, the Bruins haven't won a championship since 2005. You guys have got to feel the pressure being that number one seed. Coach Billy Martin in his 30th year on the staff, 20th year as the head coach. You've got to feel confident with him coaching you guys.
Definitely. I mean, he's been through it all, and we want to do is the best we can to get him that championship because we know right now he only has one, and it would be great for him to add another one to his resume. I mean, we want to do it for him, definitely.
We mentioned the number one seed first time since 1999. Marcos, you're playing at home on the first weekend of the tournament. That's got to be a big lift for you.
Yeah, no, it's always great playing at home in front of our home crowd, and we're excited to do so. And hopefully we can get the first few wins under our belt and go to Illinois and do well there.
That's going to be on May 10th when the tournament starts. The women's tournament starts on May 11th. They're also at home at the LA Tennis Center. Mm-hmm. So you have a chance to get a lot of Bruin fans out there to see UCLA play.
Definitely. And it's a good opportunity so that we can play first and they can come out to our match and support us, and then we can kind of do the same on theirs when they play on Sunday after we're already done.
How important is that to have the support of the women's side?
I mean, it's nice, especially with tennis, where we really don't know what the attendance is going to be like. We can rely on at least, you know, 10 to 11 people to come out. And really, I mean, as funny as that sounds, it really does make a difference, especially when they're, you know, Bruin tennis players themselves and they really care about cheering us on and giving us support.
Clay, you were the number one singles player leading up into the tournament last year. How do you think that experience is going to help you this year, and not only for yourself, but your teammates as well?
Definitely. I mean, that was a great experience for me last year to really get that opportunity to play that high. And this year, playing at number five, I just feel a lot more confident down there, and I just feel like I can kind of provide like a rock and an anchor for the guys back there and just, you know, really get the guys going.
Marcos, the NCAAs have a team aspect to it, of course. Bruins looking to win the national title, and then there are individuals also. You're playing singles and doubles. Clay is also. It's a real team event when you have to get those points on the singles and on the doubles side.
Oh, absolutely. Going out to every match, you're really wanting to win, especially not just for yourself, but for your teammates. I mean, sometimes when you lose a match, it's hard to look your teammates into their eyes until you win the next match.
Well, an important part, though, of college tennis is being a cheerleader for your colleagues. So even if you lose your match, you got to get out there and still cheer the other guys on.
Oh, yeah, you have to support them completely until the end of the match, because since it is a team event, not one match makes a difference. Or every match makes a difference, but just losing one match isn't the end of the world. And since I really trust my teammates, they're very strong players, I'm glad to have them on our team, and I feel like they will come out on top.
Clay, you guys finished with a tournament championship win over USC up in Ojai at the Pac-12. You beat USC at the end of the season. Great momentum going into postseason.
Definitely. especially since last year we lost to USC, you know, three times, and to lose to them that many times and then come back this year and beat them that many times, it's a great feeling. It's kind of like revenge, sort of. And, you know, also the Pac-12 tournament at the beginning of the year, Coach Martin really set that as a goal. And to accomplish that, it feels really good. It feels like we really worked for something.
Marcos, going ahead into the tournament as well, you play singles and doubles. Is there one that you prefer?
Well, I really enjoy both. And I myself, I really enjoy... there's not one in particular that I prefer, but I feel like I'm a stronger singles player than doubles player, but I really try to do my best out there on both sides.
Clay, you mentioned at the start of our chat that you've achieved all your regular season goals and, of course, winning the Pac-12 tournament. How does that translate into NCAA success? Is it a tendency to kind of sit back and be satisfied with what you've done so far?
it's kind of a weird transition because, I mean, you are a little in shock and kind of in awe that you were able to accomplish these goals, and you kind of want to sit back for a little bit and be like, oh, that was great. But it kind of, you know, it makes you hungry for the rest of it too, because you've tasted a bit of success and you want, you know, more, the ultimate success, which is winning the NCAA tournament. And so I think we're all really fired up and excited for that. But at the same time, you know, it's tough to set a goal for NCAAs because you want to say, like, you know, you want to win the whole thing, but it's kind of an ambitious goal, obviously. So it's, we're just going to do our best, and we're really hoping that we can come away with the title. But
it's a long season in college tennis. You start with fall tournaments. Of course, you play in the summer, and then you start with fall tournaments, and then it leads up to the regular tournaments in the springtime. Is there a danger of peaking too soon, or are you just trying to get better every time out?
Oh, there's definitely a danger of peaking too soon, and we don't want to fall into that category. We want to be able to take our breaks when we need them and be able to play at our best when our best is needed. But, you know, I found myself waking up this morning and I was like, you know, I'm so excited for the NCAA tournament, but at the same time, you know, three more weeks and I'm done to get a little bit of rest. So there's that kind of plays on you, and you definitely want to peak for when the time's right.
Marcos, we're talking about how lengthy the season can feel sometimes, mentally, physically, emotionally grueling. How do you make sure that you stay on the top of your game when you need to be on the top of your game? Obviously, you want to ebb and flow throughout the year.
Well, it's really just about making sure every time you go out there and practice, really give it your all and be focused. All the guys on the team have been playing tournaments for many years now, and they're all used to playing a full season of tennis. And so playing all year round really doesn't take too... I mean, it puts a lot of stress on our body, but we're all used to it. So, and we've all played many tournaments, so we know when... like we know how our bodies work in order to, like, peak at the right time.
Marcos, you've had the experience of playing juniors at some of the great venues in tennis, three of the four majors, Wimbledon, Roland Garros, and the U.S. Open. How have those experiences prepared you for the pressure of getting into a tournament like the NCAAs?
Oh, it's really helped a lot, especially since now I know what it's like to be out there on the big-time stage. And so really, every single tournament, I don't feel overwhelmed by it. And so that's a key to not psych yourself out too much beforehand and put too much pressure on yourself, but go out there and feeling comfortable in the situation.
Clay, the court is the same dimensions no matter where you play.
Yeah.
How do you shake out the distractions of what's outside those lines?
That's a tough question for me. I like to usually play with the distractions. I mean, it's kind of fun, especially in college tennis, when you have, like, a crowd out there. It's kind of fun to get them involved, and I think I do a pretty good job doing that. So I'm not the best person at just, like, staying, you know, in between the lines, I would say. I'd say Marcos is a lot better. but I don't know. It's fun.
You but know? That works for you.
Yeah, it's whatever works for whatever player. I mean, I like the distractions. I like the crowd. And, you know, some players are better at focusing. I can lose my concentration very fast. And, you know, that can definitely work in negative ways. But I try and keep it, you know, the most positive I can.
Marcos, we were talking about earlier how you play in singles and doubles. I just want to talk a little bit about coming into college and all of a sudden you're part of this team. Tennis, a lot of the time, is thought of as this individual sport until you get to college. But mm-hmm. How do you make that transition into having to be a team player and support your teammates out on the court?
Well, growing up, we always hear about college tennis. Like, that's kind of one of the things, being in the U.S., college tennis is kind of one of those things that you always strive to go to, get a... hopefully get scholarship and be able to play for a team. And so coming to college, I kind of knew what to expect, to be in a team atmosphere. And really in the fall, you really get to meet the guys and become a part of the team. And once the season starts, after playing match after match, it just kind of, before you know it, you really web together and you feel like a team.
You know, Clay, one of your answers just gave me a little more insight into the two of you sitting here. Marcos, your role model, Roger Federer, very controlled, inside the lines. Clay, Sam Querrey, a different kind of player. What is it about those players that have made you pattern your tennis after them? Marcos first, Roger Federer.
Well, I mean, how can you not like Roger Federer? He's so composed out there, and he's a really unbelievable player. I mean... and so I really feel like, for me, I play my best when I'm focused on my match and not distracted by what's going on around me. And really just take point after point after point and make sure I stay on top of my opponents.
Clay, Sam Querrey, rising star, not known as much as Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal, not the top marquee name, but what is it about his game that has helped you pattern your own life?
I just think it's a very similar game to the one that I want to play eventually. It's a big serve, big forehand, and I really admired the way that he came out of high school and just went to the pros. I obviously admire Roger Federer and all the top pros as well. I just really felt a connection with his game and my own, and I've had the chance to meet him and play with him a few times, and he's a very nice guy, and so I just admire that type of person.
What's the experience like for you as you watch those pros play mostly on TV, although I know you've seen them a lot in person, you've played with them in person. What's it like when you're just one of the viewing public watching them on TV?
It's interesting because, you know, you have played with them before and you feel that you can definitely play that style as well. So it kind of gives you some hope, you know, that you could one day be on that TV. So that's great. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. I love watching tennis and just trying to learn from every experience and every match that I watch.
Marcos, you finished with 20-plus wins this season, which is incredible. We're talking about your role models, but do you hope one day that maybe you're a role model for a young kid?
Oh, absolutely. Ever since I was a young kid, I've always dreamed about being on that TV screen playing tennis, hopefully making a living in that. So every time I go out there, I really want to work hard and hopefully get to the ultimate goal of being one of the top players in the world in tennis.
As we head toward the NCAAs, what's the key for you? What do you need to do to be successful as we move forward?
For me, my game revolves around just like my footwork and my serve. If I serve really well, my entire game really comes together. I know I might not be the tallest guy out there, but it really is it really helps when you're serving well. It's a one shot in tennis that it's completely on you, that you can dictate, you can start from the beginning, and it makes life a hell of a lot easier if you're serving well.
Okay, speaking to one of the tallest guys out there, Clay, what do you need to do to be at your best at the NCAAs this year?
I think fitness is a big factor, you know, being tall, and, you know, I kind of lunge around, labor around. So I'm doing a lot of running and a lot of, you know, sprints, stuff like that, just to stay in shape. And, you know, the more explosive I am, the better. It's just, it's not really all it comes down to. I feel like I'm playing really well right now. It's just the matter of whether or not I can last in the Illinois heat.
We talked about the great experience of Billy Martin. How important is it that he's been there before?
Very important. He has done everything pretty much there is to do as a tennis player. He's been incredible college player and one of the best juniors of all time, and probably like top 30, top 40 in the world in pros. So, I mean, he knows everything, and just for him to be on your court and just for him to give a little bit of wisdom and insight that he knows what it's like to be in that situation, and it's great. It gives you a lot of confidence as a player.
And Marcos, you're looking forward to that Illinois heat?
Oh, I love it. I love the heat.
He likes it a lot better than I do.
Well, gentlemen, best of luck to you. Congratulations on a spectacular season so far. I know a lot of Bruin fans will be out there watching you at the LA Tennis Center on May 10th, and hopefully off to the Nationals in Illinois after that.
Awesome. Thank you. Right,
Marcos, Clay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And we'll come right back with more UCLA Bruin Talk after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor David Berg as our Student Athlete of the Week. In an 11-inning UCLA baseball win over Washington State, Berg led the Bruins by striking out four and only allowing four hits in the final three innings. Earlier in the week, he pitched 7.1 scoreless relief innings against UC Irvine and Oregon, helping the Bruins hold on for three more wins. Congratulations, David, and good luck with the rest of the season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
And we're very pleased to take a look back at a very successful women's basketball season in 2012-2013. The Bruins went 26-8. Big win over Cal in the Pac-12 semifinals, a team that went to the Final Four and came within 8 seconds of upsetting Stanford for the Pac-12 tournament championship. And a big couple of reasons why the team was so successful. With us today, we have Atonia Yingefa, who played on the team, had a spectacular year, and assistant coach Shannon Perry. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
Coach,
thank you.
At the start of the season, the team set forth a lot of goals, and you hit almost all the boxes. It was a really great year, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic year. We had a lot of fun. We grew a lot. And it was just amazing to watch them all grow and come together at the right time.
Tonya, one of the things that had to be most remarkable is that you led the team in minutes played a year coming off your second ACL injury. How did you get strong enough to play all those minutes this year?
I think it was a combination of my coaching staff pushing me, the athletic trainer getting my legs strong, and just rebuilding every day, working every day, my legs and my power and my strength. So an accumulation of all those things kind of helped me play successful minutes.
The Bruins knew they had talent this year, but it was a question of a lot of people coming back off some pretty bad injuries. But mm-hmm. you just got better and better and better as the season went on. Could you feel it happening?
I think so. Coach challenged us to improve and get better every day in practice, which will show in the games, and I think that's what we did. You know, we worked hard in practice, and it showed in the games.
Coach, finishing a really strong third in the Pac-12, which is an incredibly difficult conference to play in, that had to have given you a lot of confidence going into the postseason.
Definitely. I mean, the Pac-12 has been getting stronger and stronger every year from top to bottom. And just to know that we were that close, especially to Stanford, who, I mean, for the seniors especially, they wanted that so bad. And to know that you were that close, it really gave us great energy and confidence going into the NCAA tournament.
One of the things this team did very well this year was play on the road. Mm-hmm, the Bruins definitely. Were outstanding away from home. Tell us about the mindset it takes to succeed away from Pauley.
I really don't know. I mean, I think Tonya could probably answer that better. I don't know if it's the focus and just having them all together and sequestered, so to speak, and there's not as many distractions, just being here at home and just in the dorms or being pulled by your family, different just distractions. But I think on the road, it's just they have nothing else to think about but basketball and academics. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Maybe, Tonya, you can attest to what made it successful.
Yeah, going off of what Coach Shannon said, I just think it's a deeper focus on the road, and I think we have a sense of urgency on the road because we know we're playing in somebody else's home territory. So I think we get more psyched up, and I think we bring more energy because we're in a harder environment.
The Bruins had a chance to do some great things off the court as well. You went to a Broadway show when you played in New York, playing St. John's over in Queens. Things like that are fun, aren't they, when you're on a road trip?
Definitely. I think this coaching staff has opened our eyes to a new world of travel, and I think it's an experience that many people don't get to get, and I'm just very blessed and thankful to have that opportunity.
Coach, part of that experience the coaching staff has helped the players open up to is a new world of serving their community. Definitely. The Bruins have been involved in some great events, giving away shoes to underprivileged kids. Mm-hmm. It's important to the staff to build the whole person, not just the player, isn't it?
Definitely. We like to say that our program, the young women are givers and not takers, so it's very important for us to just give back to the community that gives us so much, and just to give back to the less fortunate. We went down to a school in Compton called Life Charter School, and just to be able to put shoes. Like, first of all, we started by washing their feet. So just to be in a place of submission, to be able to wash someone's feet. And sometimes they were a little reluctant, of course, but then they would just kind of engage and say, okay, I'll put my feet in the water with you as well. So they had a good time just trying to get those kids to open up. Then we put fresh new socks on them and then fresh new shoes. And then they go out and they're dancing with them. They're playing hoops with them in their relationships that they have built with these young kids. And they're coming to our campus and we're going back to serve them in probably a few weeks just to be a part of their banquet. So it's just building that connection with people that are less fortunate, and just a reminder for us that we have so much and we never want to take it for granted.
And the most interesting part of that entire process is the engagement of the
Definitely.
Kids with the players. Definitely. And the kids have never had an athlete look them in the eye mm-hmm. and engage them in conversation.
And just simple things like telling them that they're beautiful or they're valued or just anything like that, just someone reminding them that they are special. And just even watching our own players watch them connect with the young people. That was fun for us, just watching them have fun, thinking maybe it's not as important or it's not really needed, but when they get there, they have a blast and they talk about it for days to come.
Tonya, we're talking about how many great things you guys did off the court as well as on the court, but how do you think all of these travel experiences and going down to Compton and hanging out with the kids, how do you think that played into your team's chemistry this year? It looked like you guys really gelled a lot better this year, and I know that it helped on the court.
Yeah, I did. I mean, one of the biggest things one of the seniors had to say was that we wanted to build our team chemistry to become a tight, niche, close family. And I think by doing these extracurricular activities outside of basketball, it just helped us build a tighter sisterhood, and we kind of just bonded together, and it builds trust. Mm-hmm. So that trust goes on the court as well as off the court. So I think all in all, that every experience kind of helped us.
Tonya, coming back from two injuries, you've been on campus a long time. A lot of people think you played with Ann Myers. I don't think you were on the team with her, but you're going to be hopefully coming back next year as a grad student. You lose four talented seniors off this year's squad, but a lot of eyes are going to be looking to you to be the senior leader next year. Do you relish that role?
I do, and I've played it before, and so it's no stranger to me. So even in high school, I think a lot of our teammates were that go-to player. So I'm going to welcome it with open arms, and hopefully my teammates just, you know, pump me up and encourage me to really do my best out there. And I'm going to try to lead my team the best way I can, and with the help of my coaching staff and my teammates.
Now, you've been through three different coaching staffs, your recruitment by Kathy Olivier, playing for Nikki Caldwell, now Corey Close, finishing her second year with Coach Perry and a lot of the other coaches. Has it been a comfortable transition for you? You better say yes. Your coach is next to you.
I mean, it has, but I'm no stranger to change, as you can tell. Like, I've been through three coaching staffs, and it's taught me a lesson. It's taught me how life evolves, and it's made me a stronger person in character. So I'm blessed to have this coaching staff the way they care so much. So I'm just glad that in the end I settled with a really good coaching staff.
Coach Tonier is the kind of person who seems very quiet. Once you get her going, she can talk and express herself, and she expresses herself on the court. But she's very stable. How important is having a real stable leader as this team goes forward?
Well, I think that we are blessed to have a Tonya from the standpoint, this is the first time I've had a senior be a senior three times, so it's been interesting to watch her grow. But she is our go-to. She is the constant. She's a voice of reason. We can always rely on a Tonya, and maybe she does seem very calm, but she's very calculating, and she's very bright. So she has an opinion, and she's not afraid to express it, but she's also not afraid to, when she's wrong, she's wrong. But I just love her. She's just constant. She's level-headed, and we just know that when we need to get a message across to the team, she's the one we go to.
Allison spoke about the chemistry of the team. Let's talk about the chemistry of the coaching staff. This is a very tight-knit group, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Corey was very strategic in getting us all here to work for her. I was actually out of coaching, had no intentions of ever coaching again, but that's just Coach Close for you. She has known all of us, and it was very important that she built a staff that was great with trust and that she can rely on and depend upon. So I think that has been part of it. And she's just very intentional about who she brings in and has around her, because the players are the most important people to her. So she's very adamant about having great people that are going to care about them first and foremost.
You had a coaching experience at Duke, very prominent, next to Gail Guestin, of course. Started out at that school across town. And you mentioned out of coaching to pursue some personal goals for a couple of years. How's it been getting back in it?
It's been fun. I mean, Corey, what I love about her, she allows us to work from our strengths and do things that we really enjoy. And, of course, you always have parts of your job that are not so fun. But to be able to just focus on things that I enjoy doing, like the mentorship and leadership and teaching, it makes coming to work easy. I mean, I have some colleagues in the profession that are miserable, but I actually enjoy coming to work every day.
Atonye Yingifa is such a lyrical name. Are people surprised to find out your middle name is Jennifer?
Yes. I actually put that sometimes on, like, something people don't know about me, because I don't know where my parents got it from. I guess my mom wanted to balance out my Nigerian side with a more subtle name. But, I mean, I've had a lot of compliments on my name, so I'm just blessed to have a different name that people never heard before.
And you get to hear it pronounced a lot of different ways, don't you?
Oh, yes. A lot of people butcher my name, but and my parents tell me all the time on TV, like, they said your name wrong, or they said this. But, I mean, it's just an opportunity for me to teach people how to pronounce my name and about my culture, so.
T, we talked about a lot of the seniors who are graduating from UCLA. You're coming back. It's going to be a real different-looking team next year, not as post-oriented. How do you think the team's going to transition from the style you played this year to the style you'll be playing in the future?
It's going to take some time. I mean, like you said, we had three very important seniors that played a lot of minutes, but I think our team is savvy, and we're smart, and we're quicker. So I think we're going to have a lot of positives on our team that are going to contribute to a lot of wins next year.
Well, it was a great season this year, and next year another challenging schedule. Coach, that's part of the philosophy, get tough by playing a tough non-conference schedule.
Definitely. I mean, I think that is what propelled us into having a successful Pac-12 season. So we're no stranger. We're not scared. We don't fear any kind of opponent. We want to go up against the very best. And, of course, we want to be strategic about that. But we are excited about these young women because I do believe we will have another successful year. And success is always defined differently from season to season, but we do have some great returns. And Atonia, obviously, and Thea Limburger as our seniors next year. It's funny how these classes change. They just keep evolving. But we do have some eager freshmen, current freshmen, and then in the sophomore class wanting to play again, like Corinne and Rayma, who are now, I mean, what class are they now? So they're going to be juniors again. So we have some people that are ready to play. We didn't even see this year. Lauren Holliday. So there are a lot of young people that did not play last year that are ready to play, step in and fill some really big shoes.
Well, one thing is true. The consensus was all this season and looking forward, the Bruins are one of the talks of college basketball, mm-hmm. a program on the rise, and it's a great pleasure to have you in here and looking forward a little bit toward the future.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for having us in your homes for UCLA Bruins Talk. We are thrilled to be with you. Allison and I are going to be back next week with another great show. Until then, I'm Dave Marcus saying so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.